So good morning while we wait for it to load. Oh, there we are. Again, I'm Sarah Kidd. And today I'll be speaking about trends in gonorrhea surveillance in the United States with a special focus on further characterizing racial and ethnic disparities in gonorrhea rates. During this presentation, I'll refer to gonorrhea surveillance data from a variety of sources, some of which Lizzie just referred to. I'll start by describing the national case report data, first the overall trends in gonorrhea surveillance, and then the estimated racial and ethnic disparities based on these data. I'll then describe the available data from the prevalence monitoring projects, including Infertility Prevention Project, the National Job Training Program, and the National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey, as well as enhanced surveillance data from the STD Surveillance Network, or SUN. These data will provide additional perspective on the size and possible reasons for disparities observed in the case report data. So as this audience well knows, Neisseria gonorrhoeae is a gram-negative diplococci that's an obligate human pathogen. Neisseria gonorrhoeae infects mucous membranes of the urogenital tract, rectum, oropharynx, and the eyes. Again, as you know, in terms of the clinical presentation, most urogenital infections in men are symptomatic. However, most urogenital infections in women and most rectal and pharyngeal infections are asymptomatic. And this has implications for surveillance and case ascertainment, since men with urogenital infection are most likely to come to medical attention because of their symptoms, while women and those with extragenital infection are more likely to come to medical attention during screening. Serious complications of urogenital infection include infertility, ectopic pregnancy, chronic pelvic pain, and gonorrhea has also been shown to facilitate HIV transmission. Prompt treatment with the appropriate antibiotic regimen limits sequelae of infection and further limits transmission of gonorrhea to others. So following that background, I'll begin with the national case report data. CDC receives case report data from all 50 states, Washington, D.C., and outlying territories. This figure shows the national gonorrhea rate from 1941 through 2010, and it also includes preliminary data for 2011 based on the cases that had been reported as of February 23rd of this year. As you can see, the national gonorrhea rate reached a peak in 1975. And after implementation of the National Gonorrhea Control Program in the mid-1970s, the national rate declined 74% from 1975 to 1997. Since 1997, there have been some ups and downs, but overall rates continued to slowly decline until 2009, when they reached an all-time low of 98.1 cases per 100,000 population. In 2010, a total of 309,341 gonorrhea cases were reported, and the national gonorrhea rate increased slightly from 98.1 to 100.8 per 100,000 population from 2009 to 2010. Based on the preliminary data as of February 23rd this year, over 312,000 cases had been reported for 2011, which represents another slight increase in gonorrhea rates in 2011 to 101.7 cases per 100,000 population. This figure shows the gonorrhea rates by region for the last 20 years. The South in yellow, the Midwest in blue, the Northeast in green, and the West in red. Historically, gonorrhea rates have been higher in the South and the Midwest than in the Northeast and the West, although the regional differences in rates have decreased over time. And here we see the gonorrhea rates among men and among women for the last 20 years. Before 1997, gonorrhea rates were higher among men than women, and between 1997 and 2001, rates in men and women were roughly the same. But since 2001, gonorrhea rates have been higher in women than in men. It's interesting to note that this crossover occurred at approximately the same time that the use of dual NAT for chlamydia screening in women was becoming more widespread. So because the dual NAT can be used for gonorrhea screening at the same time, it's likely that more women were being screened for gonorrhea beginning in the early 2000s, and more asymptomatic cases in women were being diagnosed and reported. Still, rates in both men and women have paralleled the national trend and reached an all-time low in 2009. Rates in both men and women increased slightly in 2010 and have increased slightly again in 2011. And this figure shows gonorrhea rates by age group over the last 20 years. The youngest age group, the 15 to 24-year-olds, are in yellow, and the next oldest age group, the 25 to 34-year-olds, are in blue. It's clear from this figure that adolescents and young adults by far have the highest gonorrhea rates in the nation. And here are the gonorrhea rates for 2010 by age and divided by sex, with males on the left in blue and females on the right in yellow. Gonorrhea rates in males peak in the 20 to 24-year age group, while the rates in females peak in the younger age group, 15 to 19 years, but stay high in the 20 to 24-year age group as well. Overall, 52% of male cases were aged 15 to 24 years, and 71% of female cases were aged 15 to 24 years. So gonorrhea is very much concentrated among young adolescents and young adult populations. And this figure shows the gonorrhea rates by race ethnicity in the last 20 years. The yellow line on top represents the rate among black non-Hispanic Americans. You can see that the rate in blacks has been much higher than the rates in the other four groups throughout this entire time period. The ratio between the rate among blacks and the rate among whites has decreased in the last 20 years, going from a ratio of 39.6 in 1991 to a ratio of 18.7 in 2010. Clearly, this disparity is still very large, and it remains the greatest race-ethnicity disparity seen in any of the nationally notifiable diseases. What's more, this disparity is seen in every region in the U.S. This figure shows the rates by race-ethnicity in the four regions: West, Midwest, South, and Northeast. The rate among white non-Hispanics in each region is shown in the yellow bars, and the rate among black non-Hispanics is shown in the blue bars. Depending on the region, the black to white rate ratio varies from 12.3 in the West to 25.5 in the Midwest. This disparity is also seen in both men and in women, and the black to white rate ratio was 22.2 in males and 16.2 in females in 2010. And this disparity is seen in every age group. Among 15 to 24-year-olds, the rate among blacks is almost 18 times the rate among whites. However, the size of the disparity does gradually decrease with increasing age. However, an important limitation of the case report data is the proportion of cases reported to CDC with incomplete data on race and ethnicity. As you can see from this figure, the proportion of gonorrhea cases with missing or unknown race has stayed relatively constant over the last 20 years. Every year, about 20% of gonorrhea cases have missing or unknown data on race. In addition, the proportion of cases with missing or unknown race varies depending on the reporting source. So in 2010, only 5% of cases from STD clinics had missing data on race ethnicity, but 30% of cases from private physicians or HMOs had missing data on race. Based on these data, there's reason to believe that the missing data might bias the estimates of racial disparities. If cases with missing or unknown race were more likely to be white, then this would lead to an underestimate of the gonorrhea rates among whites and would lead to an overestimate of the disparity between blacks and whites. So this table compares the 2010 case report data to what the data would look like under the most extreme assumption if all cases with missing or unknown race were classified as white instead. Under this most extreme assumption, the gonorrhea rate among whites more than doubles from 23.1 to 53.7, and the rate ratio decreases to 8.1. This rate ratio is well below our current reported rate ratio of 18.7, but still very high. So as I just demonstrated, one of the limitations of the case report data is the potential bias from incomplete data. Other limitations that could contribute to a bias in the estimates of racial disparities are unreported cases, if there were differential reporting associated with race, and the absence of data on the number of gonorrhea tests performed. CDC receives reports of gonorrhea diagnoses, but no data about the number of patients evaluated for gonorrhea or the number of gonorrhea tests done. It's therefore possible that the differential screening practices in different populations are leading to differences in rates of case ascertainment, and that this could at least partially account for the magnitude of observed disparities. So looking at some of the prevalence monitoring data can provide some insight into this, because prevalence monitoring data, as Lizzie reviewed, includes data on the denominator, the number tested. In populations with standardized screening coverage, prevalence monitoring data provides a positivity rate, which can be compared across groups. The three sources of prevalence monitoring data that I'll be referring to today are the Infertility Prevention Project, the National Job Training Program, and the National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey. I know Lizzie just went over these in her slides, but I'll just, for review again, the Infertility Prevention Project, or IPP, includes data on gonorrhea test positivity in women seeking services at selected family planning clinics and other clinic settings. However, it's difficult to interpret these trends over time in this data because screening criteria and practices vary by site and over time. The National Job Training Program, or NJTP, is an educational program for socioeconomically disadvantaged youth, and participating men and women aged 16 to 24 years at more than 100 sites throughout the country are screened for gonorrhea at entrance into the program. And lastly, the National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey, or NHANES, is a survey administered to a nationally representative sample. Until recently, urine from participants aged 14 to 39 years was collected and tested for gonorrhea. But due to low prevalence of gonorrhea in this group, testing in Haines ended in 2008. So in the last few years, investigators have analyzed these data to assess racial and ethnic disparities in these populations. Last year, Linda Gorgos and her collaborators published a paper that looked at gonorrhea test positivity among women in IPP during 2005 to 2007. When all 3 years were combined, the ratio of gonorrhea positivity among black women compared to white women was 6.3. Heather Bradley and Catherine Satterwhite published a paper early this year that reported on the prevalence of gonorrhea in men and women entering the National Job Training Program between 2004 and 2009, examining each year separately. In their analysis, gonorrhea prevalence among black women was 2.4 to 4.2 times the prevalence among white women, depending on the year. And gonorrhea prevalence among black men was 8 to 22 times the prevalence among white men. And Lizzie Taroni led an analysis of NHANES data. In this population, gonorrhea prevalence was much lower, and it was necessary to combine 10 years of data together. Based on NHANES data, the gonorrhea prevalence among blacks aged 14 to 39 years was 4 times the prevalence among whites. So I'd just like to emphasize that the NHANES ratio in particular is limited by low prevalence and low numbers of gonorrhea cases, and that the 95% confidence intervals of the point estimates shown here in yellow are quite wide. But let's compare these data to the estimates of the rate ratio by the national case report data. Based on national case report data, the ratio of gonorrhea case rate, the gonorrhea case rate among blacks to the case rate among whites in the 15 to 24 year age group ranged from 16.1 to 24.9 in the years 2000 to 2010. So when we're screening, when screening practices across race and ethnicity are standardized or at least similar as in the prevalence monitoring data, the reported ratios are lower than the rate ratios based on the national case reports. This suggests that bias due to differential case ascertainment or screening practices could be contributing to the size of disparities seen in the national case report data. And finally, I'll move on to enhanced surveillance data related to gonorrhea and racial and ethnic disparities. These data are from the STD Surveillance Network, or SUN. And SUN is a sentinel surveillance system that has a clinic-based component with data collected at 42 STD clinics, and a population-based component. The population-based component includes 115 counties where a sample of reported gonorrhea cases in those jurisdictions are selected and interviewed. I'll be focusing on the data from the population-based component for this presentation. And here is a map of the locations of the Sun collaborating clinics and counties. Although the included counties represent only 4% of counties in the U.S., Sun sites tend to be in areas of high morbidity for gonorrhea, so the population-based component actually covers approximately 20% of gonorrhea morbidity in the United States based on case report data. And one of the benefits of Sun is that we can look at additional characteristics of gonorrhea patients, including self-reported risk factors and behaviors. This table presents reported risk factors for whites, blacks, Hispanics, and all races, ethnicities combined. Overall, 17% of gonorrhea cases reported having an anonymous sex partner in the last 12 months, and 3% of cases reported exchanging drugs or money for sex in the last 12 months. Compared to white cases, a lower proportion of black cases reported these high-risk behaviors. In contrast, compared to white cases, a higher proportion of black and Hispanic cases reported incarceration, either of self or sex partner, or being out of work for more than 1 year. Sun is also useful for looking at healthcare-seeking behaviors of gonorrhea patients. And here are the data for women, men who have sex with men, or MSM, and men who have sex with women only, or MSW, are analyzed separately. Here, white cases are represented by the yellow bars, black cases by the blue bars, Hispanic cases in green, and all races combined in orange. This slide shows the median duration of symptoms in days prior to seeking care for patients who are asymptomatic. Overall, female cases tended to have symptoms longer than the male cases before seeking care. And black female cases had the longest duration of symptoms prior to seeking care. Among MSW, white cases actually tended to have the longest duration of symptoms. And this slide shows the proportion of interviewed gonorrhea patients who reported having a previous episode of gonorrhea within the last 12 months. A higher proportion of MSM than MSW or women reported multiple gonorrhea diagnoses. And among MSM, the proportion of white, black, and Hispanic MSM with more than one episode was similar. However, among women, a higher proportion of black cases than white cases reported repeat infection. So these findings provide some insight into some of the factors that could be driving racial and ethnic disparities. The higher incarceration and unemployment rates among black gonorrhea patients highlights the role of social determinants in racial ethnic disparities. Black female patients had a longer duration of symptoms prior to seeking care, suggesting that there are differences in access to care, healthcare-seeking behaviors, or awareness of STDs. And a higher proportion of black female patients reported multiple episodes of gonorrhea within 1 year, or within the last year. Prevention of repeat infection in patients, possibly through patient education or increased efforts to treat partners, represents an opportunity for intervention and a potential target for programs. So in summary, the national gonorrhea rate reached an all-time low in 2009, but has increased slightly in 2010 and 2011. Racial and ethnic disparities in gonorrhea rates have decreased over time, but large disparities persist in all regions of the U.S., in all age groups, and in both men and women. Estimates of disparities based on prevalence monitoring data are lower than those based on case report data, suggesting that differential case ascertainment or screening practices might partially account for the magnitude of observed disparities in the national case report data. And enhanced surveillance data, like those from Sun, can provide insight into some of the factors underlying racial and ethnic disparities and can inform program activities, both through a better understanding of risk factors and a better understanding of healthcare-seeking behaviors in different populations. Finally, there are some ongoing and planned activities in Sun that will provide additional data on some of the contextual factors that contribute to racial and ethnic disparities. These data include Mark Stanger's analysis that uses census tract data to further describe socioeconomic factors related to gonorrhea rates, and also an assessment of self-reported insurance status among gonorrhea patients. And before I close, I'd like to acknowledge the following people who contributed to this presentation. Thank you.
Any questions for Sarah?
Sorry. I think it's under granted, but that was another fantastic presentation. I have several questions. One, does missing data by race and ethnicity vary by region of the country? Do you know?
That's a good question, and I don't know if I can get, I can't answer that off the top of my head. It was more a function of provider, the reporting source. So if that, I don't believe that varied across regions, so I don't think that was a major factor.
I'm curious about that, because it did do some adjustments in some of the overall estimates. Also, the difference between the black-white rate ratio and the job training between males and females being so much higher among males. Any thoughts or hypotheses on that?
Yeah, I mean, I could only speculate. In the age group, you know, I think that's one, and that looking at and why, you know, and also the interplay between MSM, MSW, and those entering the National Job Training Program. As we know from the Sun data, we don't have sex of sex partner in the National Case Report data for gonorrhea, but from Sun, we know that a lot of the white, most of the white male cases are MSM, whereas the most of the white black male cases are MSW. So there may be some interaction there.
Thanks. And last question, a little bit related to that, the incarceration differential that you showed for the Sun data, saw right that is not stratified by MSM versus MSW. I know this is in California, when you do, the racial differential mostly goes away.
I didn't stratify those variables. And I can show you, actually, I have it in my bag, but for those variables I presented in the table, they show the same patterns, whether you even stratified by MSM, MSW, and women. The difference in incarceration rate was, it was exaggerated among MSW and women compared to MSM, but it was still higher rate among black MSM than white MSM.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
I have one. Actually, you showed that missing in the case report data was, I think, among private providers, it was about 30% were missing, which was the highest percent of any provider group.
Yeah.
Do you know anything about the racial ethnic breakdown of cases reported by private providers versus by other provider types?
Well, in the national case report data, of the cases with known race-ethnic disparities, the proportion of blacks to whites of the reported cases is very similar on provider type. We just have a greater percentage of missing among private providers. In the Sun data, we know where cases were reported from, self-reported, and white cases were more likely than black cases to be reported from the private provider or HMO. So. That was one reason why that was hypothesized, that the missing data may bias towards underestimating the disparity.
No more questions. Thank you.
Okay.